Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Oh, hi there, bench warmers. We're back. I don't know if people expected us not to be back tonight or not. It was basically choose tonight to cry about it. Not cry about it. Tonight to discuss everything, or tomorrow night instead of spreading it over two. There's a lot of pain. You can probably hear it through your radio sets, your headphones, wherever you're listening to this show. We do appreciate it. We appreciate everybody who's tuned in, all the playoff shows that we've been doing live. Continue to tune in to the regular episodes and everything like that at FEOTB Pod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't. Those things have been going really well, so we appreciate it and continue to tell your friends to check out the show. But yeah, it feels a lot like 2021 all over again. It's different fashion, I guess. It's not eight straight days in a row where we have a playoff loss to talk about. But two playoff losses at home where your team gets eliminated from the postseason in front of your home crowd. And that's definitely going to put a damper on things, as good of a season as it has been. We still have yet to see if Nathan MacKinnon is going to actually pull off the Hart Trophy or not. Nikola Jokic does win his third MVP. But it's definitely not going to feel the same right now.
No, it's not fun.
It's not going to feel the same for a while. This is where sports kind of does mirror life, and this is a personal loss. This is a relationship ending. You have to deal with some very not fun realities for the next little bit of time and move forward. So Nico was part of the crowd tonight. I'll probably let him get a lot of the talking out, because I know this is going to probably be therapeutic. But Game 7 loss, playoffs are over. What are we feeling?
Oh, well, the shit sucks. It absolutely sucks. Having a 20-point lead in Game 7 and you still lose, obviously that's just brutal. But I can't sit here and say we were the better team. We were not. We were not the better team. It's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Minnesota is a damn good basketball club. I think they're the best team. I think they're better than Boston. They're way better than Indiana, and I think Dallas may give them a game, but I think Minnesota can run through them very easily. I think it's the best team left. Like I said, I firmly believe that the winner of tonight's game is going to win the finals, and I still think what Minnesota showed me the series, and they were tested. They got knocked down, and that's one thing you have to do in a playoff run is get knocked down and get back up, and Minnesota did that better than anybody. And on the flip side, this team wasn't good enough for the Nuggets. It was not good enough. Players like Michael Porter Jr. fall asleep the second half. Your bench, very piss poor. Very, very, very piss poor. You're trying to have players not named Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray scored a combined, I believe, 15 points tonight. So that's all you need to know from the rest of the group. It's like I said, it's very, very disappointing, especially losing at home twice. What's up there?
Bringing in a friendly face because we need it.
Yeah, losing two in a row at home, it's brutal. It's not fun for anybody, especially the fashion that both happened.
Darren here from the Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports Podcast. We appreciate you jumping on. We talked about it a little bit when we were just on with talking to Gridiron, and it looked for a while that we were going to have a fun show to talk about. We do appreciate you jumping in. First off, how do you deal with playoff loss? Because you have a lot of experience with that, right? I'm sorry, I'm lashing out because I'm hurt. Hurt people hurt people, okay, Darren? I don't know what to tell you. You're the one who decided to join in on the league knowing what happened tonight. Thank you very much for doing so.
Yeah. No, I hear you guys. Like, is anything get worse than 2016? I mean, my goodness. I mean, so like, if anything, if I've been through a bad loss, that's a Game 7 loss to remember. And remember, I know you guys aren't baseball fans, but I am an Oakland A's fan. There are some tough ones along the way there at the beginning. So there, I've been through the ringer with those as well. I just found it like, I just thought you guys had it right there. It was just kind of interesting how you guys have been so solid in those, like after those first two games and like really finishing off Minnesota when they were kind of down. And Nico, I keep referring to this. I think you came – I mean, I think I jumped on your guys' show a couple – right before the playoffs started. And I think you said, and it stuck with me because I know you watch every game. You said Minnesota was the team that matched up against you guys. It was the team you feared the most. And I think I was kind of shocked by it, but it did play out the way I just remember you making that comment, and all those things kind of came true that you were pretty much worried about back then came true tonight in this game in those final 12 minutes. They, you guys couldn't score. It was like ridiculous.
When the going got tough tonight, and when we had a 20-point lead at one point, got down to 12, got down to 9, got down to 7, the team started hucking up threes. The thing that killed us the beginning of game 6, to go back that far, was when shots weren't falling, you need to stop hucking up threes. If Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, if you don't want to keep hitting threes, great. Get to the foul line, drive to the lane, draw some fouls, do some other things to try to stop this momentum, because it's a very, very strong momentum. And like I said, in Minnesota, when Rudy Gobert's hitting fucking fadeaway jumpers in your face, I have no fucking words. I literally said, yep, that was the nail in the coffin. I saw Rudy Gobert enter the shot clock, step back, over Jokic, said, I was like, yep, that's and there was 5 minutes left. There's 5 minutes left in the game. And I looked at it, I was like, yep, that's not right.
I remember that one. That one was not Nico, I watched every minute of this basketball game, you're aware.
I have never seen it before in my life, and I don't think Rudy Gobert could do that again if he tried. So at that point, I was like, yep, that's gonna be end-all be-all. And like I said, there's two guys that showed up tonight. There's two guys that showed up tonight, and the rest of the team just fell apart. The bench, you got zero production. This team is not nearly as close depth-wise as Minnesota with Naz Reid, obviously Nikhil Alexander-Walker. But the matchup that I was talking about so much in the pregame show before we talked about – or when we talked about this game earlier today was the matchup between Jaden McDaniels and Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. won that battle in the first half. He won that battle in the first half. He had 7 rebounds already, 13 points, and he was balling. I was like, oh my God, Mike's playing defense, grabbing rebounds. He's everywhere. And then at halftime, and look, where I'm sitting, I can see the bench. I can see the bench perfectly. I can see who's talking, where's where. I saw at halftime Michael Porter Jr. hanging his head down 13 points at halftime, or up 13, excuse me, up 13 points at halftime. I was like, what the fuck are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? I seriously, it was like I get the shots not falling, but what did you do to help the team? You guarded great defense on Jaden McDaniels to start the game, and then you're getting rebounds. You out rebounded them, and then the second half, Minnesota out offensive rebounded you, and it was over. Plain simple. And it was just like I said, when the ball's not in your hands, that's one thing that we did last year that helped us so much was everyone bought in. I saw a bunch of guys not buying in. I saw Reggie Jackson getting cardio in, 0 points again. Justin Holiday, same thing, getting cardio in, no 0 points. Christian Brown may have been the only person that's been worth the shit to play to come off the bench, and that is not good enough to win another NBA championship. Plain and simple, it's just not. Especially when you had the bench unit of Jeff Green, Christian Brown, and Bruce Brown last year, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And you look at like the secondary scoring Minnesota had. Anthony Edwards had 4 points in the fucking half. He had 4 points a half. He had 4 points a half. That is a kudos to the defense. And then the defense decided, we're just going to coast through. Jokic save us. That's not.
Was this more? Did you see this coming though? Regulars like in the playoffs. Weakness like that, or are you that?
I absolutely saw the weakness all season of the depth of this team. I knew that the starting five were good enough to make another run and give us a chance. I knew that this bench unit was not going to get us anywhere. Reggie Jackson has been a pain in my ass since the moment he got minutes off the bench. Exactly. Christian Brown is a great energy spark, but he's not a number. He's not a sixth man. He's a good seventh or eighth man, plain and simple. And then Peyton Watson did not get playtime because he was inefficient offensively. And you have to have a guy off the bench that can offensively score. And like I said, this starting five was completely intact. And obviously KCP this year is a free agent. We'll talk about free agency down the line, but when you have the same starting five coming back and you got to think, well, it's who else can show up. It helps. It helps. And one of the things I go back to going into last year's NBA finals, Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon didn't finish games in Miami. It was Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. Man, it was Bruce Brown and Jeff Green at times because you could trust them. There was zero trust in Reggie Jackson and Justin Holiday and Peyton Watson or anybody come out. There was zero trust at all. And you had to run Jokic 46 minutes tonight to try to get you –
Was he tired? Kevin Harlan didn't bring that up 18 million times on the broadcast that he's only sat for 1 minute of the game, and it was back in the first half.
I'm sure. I don't know. It was a long, grueling series. He didn't play at all the fourth quarter of Game 6, and like I said, he was doing Jokic things the first half, but it came down to where is the secondary individual going to come from, or the third individual. Minnesota tonight, it was Rudy Gobert, and it was Jaden McDaniels. Tonight, got it from nobody. Jamal had a great first half, had 5 points the second half. Maybe 7 points. He had 22 points at half, finished at 29. That's not good enough. You have Michael Porter Jr. just falling asleep, just being inconsistent the entire half. Aaron Gordon is not boxing out on rebounds. Like I said, this team was begging, hoping Jokic to save him. Yeah. And then and like I said, when you run into a good team, which Minnesota, in my opinion, like I said, I've said it all along, Minnesota is one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team left, in my opinion. And when you run into a very, very good team, this isn't the Los Angeles Lakers, where you can just squeak by and be down by 20 and still win a series. That's just not going to happen. Minnesota is a much better team where you have to put them away. Put them away.
I didn't see to go back to your question, Darren, I didn't see the team that we saw last year from the playoffs once they started. I was thinking that they were starting to get to it in the middle of this series. But no, I was not expecting tonight to be the last night of the Nuggets season, because I figured we sacrificed hockey for basketball, but apparently we sacrificed too much over the last three seasons, because now no team is getting a championship run. We had the Bengals, we had the Avalanche, we had the Nuggets. There ain't no championship run now. I got nothing.
Broncos country now, boys. Broncos country now.
Let's fly, right? That's what we decided. Let's fly.
Don't do that to me.
Ducks fly together.
I've already been through enough tonight. Please don't bring up that team. Yeah. I've already been through enough.
I got to go in a couple minutes, though, but I appreciate you guys letting me on and kind of reminisce the season with you. Can I ask one question real quick here, Nigga? I just wanted to know, because obviously I know you go to the games and you see that with it, and you said like they weren't the same from last year and they need a bench player. You guys are one of those destinations that are kind of an interesting one to me. We'll see if free agents go to you guys. You have Jokic. Will some of the best players go to you, or will it be like a Cleveland, Milwaukee situation at times where, I mean, Lillard went there, but they had to give up a lot. Like, I'm curious if you guys are able to get guys to play alongside Jokic. That's the one thing I'm curious.
Yeah, the problem is the cap room and how this team is built, because like I said, if you look at MPJ, you look at Jamal, you look at Jokic's contract, hell, look at Aaron Gordon's contract, it's barely enough to get a marquee free agent and keep him around. That's why Bruce is gone, right? If we had enough money to shake out,
you can manipulate those things, I feel like, don't you?
When you're a small market, unfortunately, you cannot manipulate that. Yeah. You cannot manipulate that as much. I thought
was the owner, though. I thought he had money. I thought Mr. Crocky had
that money's going to Arsenal or whatever the hell club he owns in England. That's all he cares about.
I will say that I think this is definitely a hot spot. If you're a veteran and you're trying to get a championship, or if you're trying to get a run at it, I definitely think this is an opportunity. Different than Milwaukee, different than Golden State, for instance. Nuggets play a different team type of basketball where they expect something from everybody. That's the thing. They expect something from everybody. Golden State could get by with letting Steph, Clay, and KD at the time cook. And they just need Looney to rebound, just go from there. If you play minutes on this Denver Nuggets team, you're expected to hit open shots, expected to play good defense, and if you don't do that, this team isn't going to win. That's plain and simple. Because the type of basketball this team plays was slow, methodical, try to slice and dice you with a million cuts. It's just not able to do that. So if you're free agents, and like I said, KCP is a free agent this offseason, we'll see if he's able to take a player friendly contract. But that comes off the books. So we'll see if that's something that Calvin Booth tries to figure out. See if Christian Brown's gonna be the next starting two guard, or see how that goes from there. But like I said, it's different than playing in Milwaukee.
Guys there. I was thinking maybe Clay would go there. How about Clay? I thought maybe Clay.
No, we don't, unless Clay wants to take a discount. That's not gonna happen. I've always said, like, a guy like Caruso, I think would be very, very interesting. Maybe bring Bruce
Brown. That would be back. A great thing.
I think there's some role players out there on some bad teams that like I said, you find your Aaron Gordon in the rough. right? You find your Aaron Gordon, rough guy that is rotting away on a shitty franchise, and then you bring him here and just bring him into the mentality of being a Denver Nugget, mentality of Jokic and Jamal, and they can turn into stars, aka Bruce Brown getting paid, right? Like you just have to find those diamonds in the rough. And like I said, with the cap space where it's at, that's where we're at. It's not necessarily guys that don't want to play here, because every person that's played here the last 4 or 5 years, look at Monte, look at Will Barton, like look at Faku, like they all loved playing here, and they were all something here. They leave, they turn into absolute shit. that's just how, unfortunately, how it goes. And you got to think, if you're, like you said, Justin Holiday was a guy that was on the last few years of his career. The fact he got a new contract was amazing. It was because he had another open roster spot. And he comes in and he plays decently. Will he get another contract? Probably not. He's probably done for his career. So you have to find somebody. Maybe it's Peyton Watson. Maybe it's and I'm going to be careful with my words here. Maybe it's trying to move Michael Porter Jr. to try to get some death pieces, because I know unfortunately, Michael Porter Jr., he's a damn good shooter, but unless he wants to get his head out of his ass constantly, like we don't necessarily need that. And if you can bring in an extra decent shooting wing that can play defense, like I said, Aaron Gordon is a great defender, but when you play teams like Minnesota, you have to throw him on a big. And that leaves KCP, who's aging on Anthony Edwards. That leaves Jaden McDaniels wide open in the corner because Mike doesn't know how to play defense, and leaves other options open. And look, Jokic and Jamal are untouchable, but I would not be opposed to moving a Michael Porter Jr. to try to get more pieces. But the problem is his contract, and not many teams, unless you're a bad, very, very bad team, are going to be willing to take on that, is the problem.
Michael Porter Jr. for Alex Caruso, Chicago.
that's first of all, that'd be a terrible trade for us.
I was thinking DeRozan something. I was thinking DeRozan have to be in the deal like that too.
We'd have to get a lot more back than that.
Gentlemen, I got to go though. I appreciate you letting me jump on for a few minutes. Nico, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about the loss. You guys still, like you said, you still have the best player in the league. You have an advantage going to next year. I'm trying to help you a little better.
Hey, you're the Warriors, the only team to go back to back in the last 8 years now, 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah. Aren't they the last team to win a championship and go past the second round the season after?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's also true. That's actually crazy thing. But yeah, that's very, very true. So like I said, it's very, very difficult to come back to back, and the Warriors were very good at it. So like I said, it's going to be a fun off season, fun figuring everything out, but. Like I said, it could be worse. We could be Wizards fans, or we could be
Cubs. Yes, we could be Wizards fans. All right, guys, take it easy.
Later. Thank you, Jared. Check out Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports and Talking the Gridiron Variety Sports Network. Yeah.
See ya. Sure today. Check it out. See ya. Later.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we were able to get him on. I'm glad that he still decided to come on. I just kind of sent him over the link, not knowing whether or not he was going to still decide to. We can save off-season talk for the Nuggets. What else do you want to mention from this game? And I'll throw the bracket back up here, because now we do have a Final Four, and it's a different Final Four than a lot of us would have probably selected at the beginning of these playoffs. But it is set. So Minnesota and Dallas. Minnesota will be the high seed, so they'll have home court advantage in the Western Conference Finals. Boston will be playing Indiana after they whopped New York. Those Italians didn't know what to do. They're bing-bonging all the way back to the apartments.
They got their ass kicked. And look, I like this Dallas team a lot. I think that the additions they made of PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, I think, really, really helped them. I don't think they have the dogs to slow this team down. I really do not. Look, it pains me because of all the shit they were talking, Jaden McDaniels trying to throw a bounce pass alley-oop to himself to end the game, and KCP saying, fuck you, that's not happening. Like, this Minnesota team is very, very cocky for not having made the – for making the first ever conference finals, by the way, since KG was there. Congratulations. Congratulations, you made it there. But you beat the defending champs, but that's not the end of the road. You still are facing – a team in Dallas that is very, very hungry, who knocked off the number one seed. Let's not forget. They're very, very hungry. Luka's a damn good player. Kyrie obviously has that championship pedigree. They're well coached. Jason Kidd knows the game better than anybody. I think it's going to exit. I would expect Minnesota to win still. I think it's not. I think it goes more than five. I think it's either six or seven. This series goes. That's a kudos to Dallas and how strong I think of them and the style they play, because it's very, very similar to the Nuggets and how they play. But Minnesota is fast paced, can guard you, have enough guys defensively to slow down Dallas, right? You can throw Mike Conley / Anthony Edwards at Kyrie, and you can throw Jaden McDaniels / Nikhil Alexander Walker to Luka and go from there. And I think that they match up well. The problem with Dallas is going to be their inside presence. Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, you're gonna have to slow down Cat. Cat is been an offensive presence, been a really, really good from the field shooting the ball. Gobert obviously found a fucking fadeaway jumper in his arsenal. Let's see if he can continue that. But I think the depth of Minnesota is just so much better. It's really what wore us out, and I think it's going to wear out Dallas too, because I don't trust necessarily Hardaway coming off the bench. I don't trust some of these other guys for Dallas to try to match Nasri, try to match Nikhil Alexander Walker off the bench. And I say Minnesota in six, but I think Dallas will give them a run for the money. On the East, I'll let you get your two thoughts in there, then I'll touch on the East.
I think that Dallas, it's a nice story, but the Minnesota team that just finished off the Nuggets is another animal, and they're on a mission. So as nice as it is, I could see it going six or seven as well. I could also see it ending in a gentleman sweep because they want to end in the Western Conference Finals on their home court. Maybe this is the series that they give their home fans something to cheer about, because they didn't really do it against the Nuggets. We talked about that going into game five.
And another thing is, like, Minnesota having home court, it's the first series since Phoenix that they had a home court, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the series against the Nuggets, they didn't. They just won three games on the road. That's a problem for anybody. That is a problem for anybody. They just won three road games at the defending champs home court. That, like I said, if Minnesota can win games at home and come into your building and take your soul, it's gonna be very, very, very tough to beat.
Yep. What do you think about the East? Can this Pacers team, because they played a hell of a basketball game against the Knicks. I watch a little bit of that game today too. McConnell. I didn't know McConnell was white, He is a pest. He is going to run the YMCAs and the 24-hour fitness and the Lifetime Fitness after he's done playing in the NBA, because he is just all over the place. And the dude does have a little bit of bunnies. He was getting up there. He was playing around the rim.
Not a ton, is all I'm going to say. But McConnell is a stud. This Pacers team, I'm going to go back to the X factor and probably the biggest deal at the deadline of every single team that's left. And it was bringing in Pascal Siakam. Spicy P, bringing in that championship pedigree. This young team from Indiana, the East sucks so much that this young team from Indiana can go on this run. And Indiana is a force to be reckoned with. They have a very, very, very good starting five. Excuse me. Miles Turner is a damn good center, can step out, shoot, block a lot of shots, very, very good. You bring in the dimension of Pascal Siakam, who won a championship in Toronto. He comes in, he can lock down the opposing guy's best defender, and he can attack the rim like a Noah at will. That opens the floor so much for Haliburton, so much for Nesmith of Indiana as well. Like, this team's very, very good. They are very, very good. They left no doubts about beating New York. They left no doubts. They came in, they were nailing shots one after the other, but their defense really, really stepped it up a notch. Yep. The question is with Boston, is when they face Boston, Boston hasn't been tested yet. They literally still have not been tested. They've lost two games. Boston should, in reality, win this series in five games because of how healthy they are, how rested they are.
Is Chris Haus there?
I think Kristaps might be back. He did give him he did get like 3 days of extra rest because of that series going seven, them finishing in five. So I think he's back. But Boston should. I'm going to say Boston wins this series. I think it's Boston versus Minnesota finals. But Indiana, like I said, if you're able to give Boston some adversity and knock them down. Who knows? I'm serious. Who knows? Because the East is that poor. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Minnesota or Dallas beats Boston in the finals because, like I said, you have to be tested. The Nuggets last year were tested against Phoenix. They were tested in the finals, losing game two at home. Minnesota,
tested, very, very tested now. They obviously cooked the Suns, and they go to a long, tough, grueling seven-game series against the defending champs. Dallas, same thing. Just beat up OKC, number one team, and they had to go through the Clippers series too. They're very tested. Boston played who again? Cleveland? I'm sorry. Sorry, Ohio sports fans. Whatever.
And there's always been one game in a series where they totally fall asleep and get their absolute asses kicked by teams
They fall asleep. Like that Miami series should have been done in four, and they gentlemen sweep them. This Cleveland series should have been done in four also, and in gentlemen sweep too. Like I said, they have two losses. They have not been tested once. And if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm very, very worried about going to a finals. You don't want to lose games. You obviously want to win as many games as possible as soon as you can. You almost want to get tested against Indiana so that you can see what this team is made of, because I see a team that's just coasting. Because when you play the Timberwolves or you play the Mavericks in the finals, those teams will fucking been through war to get to you. Been through war and been through the best of the best. And unfortunately, Boston has faced an 8 seed, a 4 seed, now a 6 seed to get to the finals. So we'll see if they're able to figure it out and able to just continue dominating bad teams, which they have been thus far. And Indiana is no bad team, don't get me wrong. But the level of play between Indiana and New York series versus this Denver series and against Minnesota or against that OKC versus Dallas series, the level of play between those three quarterfinal games is so night and day. And obviously everyone hypes up the Knicks and whatever, the Knicks cool this, Knicks that, whatever. Indiana and Boston are not tested at all in the slightest. Dallas and Minnesota are ready for anything. They're ready to get their ass kicked at home twice, come back, lose three in a row, end up winning the series still, winning two in a row. Dallas is willing to go on the road to OKC into a hostile environment, win that series, play against the Clippers, which had Harden, had an MVP on their team, and Harden had a finals MVP in Kawhi Leonard on their team, Paul George, a great player as well, and get through that. Both these two teams in the West are – going to walk into this finals like this is the intensity of the finals. This is the intensity. It's going to be very, very similar to how the Nuggets were last year. They walked into the finals like, oh, we can coast through. They obviously got punked game two, but when they walked into game three and game four, they're like, oh, we can play a intensity level that the East has nothing to even hold a jockstrap to, right? Not even a jockstrap to. And that's why I have so much confidence in. Like I said, I thought the winner of tonight's game is going to win the finals. I still think that Minnesota is good enough to win the finals. I really, really do. Obviously, I don't want them to win because of all the bullshit they talked about. But I think that they're good enough to beat. And I think Dallas is honestly very, very good enough to beat either of those teams in the East. And hell, if it's the Pacers on the other side and they shock the world, it's going to be Minnesota in fucking four. It's going to be Dallas in five. I just being completely honest with you. I would not be surprised if it's that quick. If it's the Pacers, that Celtics might be able to push the series to 6 or 7, but they'll still lose. I am very, very confident in saying that.
Speaking of Dallas, they are now the only team with both their basketball and hockey team still going on. We're going to switch over to the hockey side. We have not addressed. I mean, we addressed it. We've said that they lost and I put out a tweet that's very blunt and to the point. And I feel bad if Brandon took it a certain way, but it was literally like, why are we complaining about the goal that got taken away in the first overtime when Dallas still came back and scored in the second overtime? Who gives a shit? They won. They scored. It's gone. I go back to that major league scene where the guy hits a bomb and the guy's sitting in the stands when it's just the three of them. Oh, it's too high. And they're sitting afterwards like, too high. Like the angle. Who gives a shit? It's gone. Like it's done. It's over with. Congratulations, Dallas. 6 games, absolutely dominated a majority of those. I feel like you can't take anything away from what they did. They took advantage of every single break that the Avalanche gave them on and off the ice. Absolutely. Like that game four could have looked a lot differently. The game that they had no Valeri Nichushkin.
And no Taves as well.
And no Taves. They still could have. I mean, we talked about it. It going that close up to game time and having all that news dropped on you is never going to work out. Could have been nice, but honestly, two game seven losses in the same day might hurt worse than two closeout games being taken care of on your home floor and your home ice.
I think it's just bad, but I mean, losing your home.
Losing at home sucks.
Worse. I think that's way worse. Look, the way the Avs also lost is the worst part because it, obviously we could talk about Duchene getting the game winner, but also like the way that this team had so much life after the first round, had so much momentum, felt like, you know what, if this team is fully healthy, keep them locked in a fucking room and it's going to be very, very tough to stop. Georgiev was figuring it out. Georgiev was the best player for us this series. You think, you know what, this team can be unstoppable if they get going at the right time. And then Val's news happened, Taze's news happened. The team is trying to reel back. Drouin is not healthy still. You're playing the best goalie left in Ottinger. Like, it's – it was one thing after the other. It was one thing after the other where it just ran into
too good of a team to overcome all of that. Like what you just said with LA. Like, yeah, you can get by after giving up 7 goals against Winnipeg in the first round series. That was cute. You still gentlemen swept them. When you give a team like Dallas, who has Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, Matt Duchene on it, Wyatt Johnston, Rupe Hintz, Miro Heiskanen, like guys, Jake Oettinger. If you give that team all of the breaks that you gave Winnipeg, that series doesn't go 4-1. It goes 4-2 the other way. And absolutely, you have to sit there for yet another season. Like, you have Cale Makar. You have Nathan MacKinnon. Why can't we make it past this damn second round? We either make it to the final or we can't make it past the second round of the playoffs.
No, it's brutal. And I think that I think Joe and McFarlane are going to figure things out to rebuild the rest of this team. And like I said, this team isn't good enough. It's just not.
There's a lot of faces that we aren't going to see next year.
There's a lot of faces we're not going to see last year, guys that are on their last legs. But there's also a lot of guys in this roster that had their first playoff experience that we can build upon, right? Drouin, Middlestat are guys that need to be part of this future.
I think you keep those two and let Sean Walker go, because I, as much as I liked him when he first got here,
he's not as effective. Yes, he's not as effective.
He's not what you want to add into that decor, because you're adding a guy that lost minutes to Jack Johnson.
Absolutely. So, like, I think you build around those guys in the off season and try to. And honestly, in my opinion, I think you need to get younger. I saw, like I said, Parise was a cool story, Caggiano a cool story, but these guys are in the last legs of their career. We saw up and down. If you want to play Colorado Avalanche hockey, if you want to play the speed of MacKinnon and Kale, and I'm looking at Mikko also, you need to have fresher legs and you need to have younger legs that are hungrier. And right now, Dallas, in my opinion, had much hungrier, stronger legs, plain and simple. And Bennett and Seguin being the two obviously veterans on the team. It's right. You need to have veterans on the team, but you need to have Wyatt Johnson. You need to have Jason Robertson, two young guys that are hungry. Millsack could be that guy for us next year. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But you need another secondary or third guy through, like, this guy is a gamer. This guy's a gamer, plain and simple. This guy's a gamer. He steps up when you need him to play. He steps up. Get you goals, get you assists, doesn't take dumb penalties when you need it to play, and you need to find those guys. Maybe it's Kovalenko, the draft pick that got a little bit of time in the playoffs. Maybe it's Wagner, who's a veteran, Chris Wagner too. Like, you need to find younger guys. And I, like I said, it's tough to develop championship teams and keep them around. That's why it's built how it is, because you have a worse draft pick when you win, and when you're a good team, you have a worse draft pick, and it's tougher to find gems in the rough. But like I said, maybe it's finding out guys in free agency. Maybe it's guys getting guys via trades, like Middlestat or whatever. It's
getting Landeskog. Yeah. If he is coming back, I want it to be this year, because as I'm thinking about it now, the guys that I want to keep around, Drouin and Middlestat, you could have first line MacKinnon, Drouin, and Lekki or Rantanen, depending on who you wanted to split. I think Lekki and Rantanen on the first line with MacKinnon would be fine. Then you get Middlestat plays center, right? Or does he play?
Yes, he's
play
center.
He could play wing too. And then you can get Middlestat, you get Landy, you get either whoever you don't want to put up on that top line.
OC.
LOC was not there for the playoffs this year. That would have been something that's probably a little bit different. There's a guy that would step up and change momentum if he had to drop the gloves in that situation where Taves gets hit. And then you add in Landeskog, who could possibly be a third line guy when you have as much depth as you do, or you have the guys that are young. Like, I love what Ross Colton did, but he did not play well enough to be second line center. Like, no, Casey Middlestat outplayed him from his position there.
He's a very, very good third line guy.
Yeah. Him and LOC on the same line would be deadly. all the time.
Very, very, very good third line guys. I just, like I said, you have to find another depth wing, in my opinion. Maybe it's Landy back, or maybe it's getting someone else free agency. But like I said, I'm going to break a little bit of news, and I have my sources, is all I'm going to say, and you can clip the shimmy and for when the news officially comes out. But I expect Valerian Nichushkin not to come back, is all I'm going to say. I have sources. My sources are saying that he's already been let go, that he will not be returning to the team. So when that news drops, do not be surprised. I think it's time to move on. I'm not sure how the cap hit works. I know it's, I think, around 7 years AAV, right? 7 years, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
I think
he's got 7 years left on the deal that he signed.
Seven AAV. I think when you break the rules the way he did, I think you get
it's got to be a percentage of the contract. Yeah, you can't force them to hold him to 100% of that contract.
Exactly. And he's not getting paid for 6 months no matter what. I have it on good.
I feel like that still has to count against the cap some way. They can't circumvent the cap in multiple rules.
I think there might be rules with guys that go against that penalty, because, like I said, he has to reinstate himself and has to file a reinstatement clause to get back. It's 6 months, don't get me wrong, but it's also reinstatement. So I would not be surprised at all if he just doesn't get reinstated and the league says, all right, that's clean on the books. I'm dead serious when I say that. I know it's a lot of money, but at the same time, the way he did, and I'm not going into specifics, what he did is enough to terminate a contract with clause, is all I'm going to say. The last two seasons, everything he's done for the thing that happened last year, playoffs, going back into the rehab program because of things that happened off the ice at the beginning of this year, right? January, maybe it was February, whenever it was. Yeah. And then now this again through the playoffs, I think that's enough to terminate a contract. I think you're just going to be fighting
against the Players Association because they're not going to want none of the contract left to be paid out.
Again, the Players Association is also the people that put in the help clauses where the guy doesn't get paid for 6 months. So, like I said, the Players Association can only help so much. So we'll see how that works out, everything. But I have it on good sources. And Jimmy, you can clip this. And when that news comes out, that Adrian Dater and everybody else for the Avs news bearers, I want you to know that we had it first, that he will not be returning, is all I'm going to say. I like I said, if something wild changes in the next week or more, then it ain't going back. But right now, I have a good authority in my sources, and like I said, I'm not going to say my sources, but I have my sources of that Valerian Nichushkin will not return in an Avalanche sweater.
And this is timestamp Sunday, May 19th, 2024 at 10:10 p.m. Just so that those people can't claim that they had this before us. So that's when this news, we're the ones that are breaking it, and we'll see where that goes. That's
like I said, unfortunate. Something could change. It could change. Maybe he has a talk with the team and goes to that. But right now, as of right now, Valerian Nichushkin will not be back with the team.
Oh, if I'm Zach Parise or Andrew Cogliano, I'm not even entertaining that conversation. That guy
They're also both gone too.
I know that they're both gone, but
Cogliano's a free agent too. But
part of recovery is making amends with people you have wronged. Yeah, those are two guys that you have wronged quite a bit, and I don't think that they're going to be willing to. I mean, they might be understanding of your situation, but they're not going to be willing to just let this go because this was their last chance to do what they want. Cogliano is one of the lucky few. The Cogliano story does not happen very often. And Parise tried to repeat it. We all thought it was going to happen, but this is what comes. We talked about it when we were talking about the NFL playoffs. And I heard it. I can't remember where I heard it from. I think it was the CBS broadcast, one of their shows throughout the week. When you get to the playoffs, your problems don't really just go away. Like, your problems don't just disappear. They actually kind of get magnified. And when this team was going on their losing streaks and when this team was less than 500 to finish up the season on the road, there were a lot of red flags that I think that we maybe brushed to the side. We didn't want to bring up quite as much. And the way that they handled business in the first round made it seem like things were okay. But all of the situation, all of the reasons that we saw this Avalanche team lose to the Dallas Stars are reasons that we saw them go on long losing streaks like we haven't seen over the last few seasons.
I will also say that I did take some positives away. Like, Georgia has proved to me, especially this series, proved to me that he can be a number one and a guy that can be trusted. I the way he stood on his head in game six to force two overtimes, only allowing one goal in, you have to hope that your offense helps you out. An offense that scored five goals a game in the first round. only scoring one goal in a do-or-die game. That's not unacceptable. And your goalie's still in your head for you. So Georgiev is an absolute big positive out of this. I think that you're able to build upon the new additions this year. Last year's new additions fucking came and went, right? Evan Rodriguez fucking gone. Who else am I missing? There was a couple of guys that were just like, they're not even worth bringing up. They weren't even worth mentioning and worth bringing back. Casey Mittelstadt, Jonathan Drouin, two guys that fit into the system perfectly, are things you can build upon. That's what you need to look at. You need to look at more guys like that and trying to build upon that and fill the rest of the lines out. Because now, like I said, Mittelstadt is a restricted free agent, so he's not – technically a free agent, but he, like I said, you have to give up draft picks to us if you do sign him. So we'll see how that free agency work out. But I would be very, very surprised if he doesn't return. Drouin might be the tough one because the guy could get his biggest payday of his career after what he did this year. Is going to be.
Or a very, do you want to stick around and play with your buddy? We got your buddy here.
That's the one tipping point that helps us a lot. So
if you don't know him and Nathan MacKinnon go way back. They played on the same World Juniors team together.
Way back. And like I said, Mittelstadt filled in perfectly with this team. And now I think you need to work on getting line mates for him that can coordinate what he does best. And that's feeding the puck, making dirty plays, or doing dirty plays in the corners, screening the net. Now you need big, powerful, strong wings in one speed guy. Like I said, Landy can be that powerful wing, and maybe you need another speed guy on the other side. I'm not sure who that would look like.
I'm just spitballing here. This name just popped into my mind, and it's a guy who Mittelstadt would have familiarity with from Buffalo. What's Alex Tuch's situation?
I have no idea the contract.
I don't know his contract situation either. But if we're talking about a guy that has speed and is also powerful and plays wing, Alex Tuch is a guy that we talked about a lot when he was playing in Las Vegas. Hasn't necessarily emerged in Buffalo, but he could be a guy that we bring into the system, and he might benefit from being here.
I don't hate that at all. The thing with Tuch though is I think he probably signed a longer deal when he got traded to Buffalo for Eichel, and that was last year, like literally 1 year ago. So I think that would have to cost us some picks and different things and different players.
It is Buffalo, so Buffalo could fumble. Like when Buffalo Joe Sakic's not allowed to call Buffalo, because if Joe Sakic calls Buffalo, he's going to walk away with the keys to the franchise. Like, yeah, they just traded everybody to us for nothing.
We gave you Eric Johnson and Bo Byram, and you gave us your number one scoring option, literally, your entire team the whole season.
Bettman's like, Sakic cannot speak with the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres.
All I'm going to say is what I saw from Vegas and getting some fucking cheap players for fucking cheap, dirt cheap, and I think that we could very easily do if we find a bad team that's willing to do that. Buffalo was that, getting Mittelstadt. But like I said, I think if you get a hungry young wing, I think that's the X factor. And maybe it's a guy that has championship pedigree. Obviously, like I said, bringing Burakovsky, I remember 2 years ago, was such a massive difference. Bringing a guy that had championship pedigree that helped us out. I think if you maybe try to find somebody that has something similar, maybe it's a guy that won it this year, maybe it's a guy that won it last year, whatever it may be. I think having that pedigree also helps.
Real quickly, let's wrap up the rest of the games that we still have coming up. So Vancouver, Edmonton will finish up on Monday. That series is tied 3-3. I'm picking Vancouver because I feel like Edmonton in this series has proven they are willing to lose games. And in a game seven, you can't lose opportunities. You have to be able to take advantage. And I don't see them being able to take advantage, even if they're up.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think Dallas is a very, very good hockey team. Do not get me wrong. If Edmonton can win this series, I don't see how there isn't a path to the Stanley Cup final. I think that they match up decently with Dallas in terms of speed and strength-wise. The goaltending will be the problem. But when you have McDavid and Draisaitl, two of the top goal scorers in the league, I think that could help them immensely if they're able to get through game seven. Vancouver, I think Dallas finishes at five, if I'm being honest, gentleman sweep, if not four, because of how banged up they are right now. Edmonton, I think, could give Dallas a run for their money and see what happens there. But like this series has been so back and forth. That game six win for Edmonton was 5-1 goal scorer. That was the same time as, I think it was game six for the Nuggets. And so I was flipping back and forth, and I was like, oh, this game isn't even worth watching. They just came in and steamrolled them. So Vancouver could lay over, but they are at home, so that could change things. They are at home. They do have home ice in this series, and they have game seven at home. But we saw And unfortunately, the NBA playoffs, that home court game seven doesn't really mean shit. So in both the Nuggets and the Knicks series. So who knows what that means. And hockey is even more up in the air of how what can happen in game seven. So like I said, I would not be I think Edmonton win game seven. I think they'll be run. I think that Dallas and Edmonton is going to be a hell of a series. And I think, like I said, the East, though, the Eastern Conference Finals may be the one that comes out of the Stanley Cup winner, because Florida and New York right now feel
my Rangers are looking good. My Rangers are looking good. Bing bong. I'll bing bong my way to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't like Matthew Tkachuk, so it's very easy for me to root against the Florida Panthers. I'm going full New York. Give me the Rangers over Florida.
I'm going to go Florida because I think Florida from last year and Bobrovsky has been known to be able to outplay other goaltenders. Obviously, he did that in the Washington
series.
He's
going to have to beat Igor.
So he's going to have to beat Igor. We'll see if that makes a difference. But I don't know. I think Florida gets back. I really, really do. I think Florida – I'll go with a Florida at Dallas finals, and I'll take Florida. I'll go Florida. I'll say Florida is my champion this year.
I'm going New York and Dallas because I think that the winner of the Colorado-Dallas series was going to make it to the final no matter what. And I am going it feels like 94, so I'm going New York to win the Stanley Cup because I'm a Rangers fan moving forward because I need somebody to root for some reason to watch these games. Nuggets, Avalanche fans, the sun will come out tomorrow. I know that we won't be here giving you any more live content throughout the playoffs. Nico's going to head up to training camp next week, so it'll be a little bit different. I'm probably going to take next week off, so you have to go back, watch all the content that we have. We'll continue to post the clips, everything like that, and then I'll make sure we have an announcement when I come back with solo shows, and then when Nico is ready and available, it'll be right around the time the NBA Finals are starting. So you have to deal with my commentary over the conference finals. Nico should be back because the NBA is going to give us a little bit of time before they start the final series. So that's kind of how things are going to be going moving forward. It's an unfortunate weekend. It's one of the weekends where you're like, why the hell do I care about sports again?
It sucks. It absolutely sucks. And obviously, it's very, very difficult for anybody to win back-to-back. It is very, very difficult for anybody to win 2 and 3 years. It's one of the most difficult things in sports, plain and simple. It is a select few teams that are ever to do it. But I cannot sit here and not feel proud to be a Nuggets fan. I can proudly wear Nuggets merchandise. I can proudly say that I'm a Nuggets fan, that I enjoy Nikola Jokic. And I can proudly say that I'm an Avs fan with McKinnon and McCarr and having won a cup too. Like I said, we won a championship. It's been 500 days and we've won two championships. We still have. Let's not forget, 600 days, however the math, 700, whatever the math is. I'm not good at math, Jimmy, and this is why you're the teacher and I'm not. And we've still won two championships. Yeah, we didn't win one this year. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, where the live show is fun, and after every win, every loss, doesn't matter, whatever it is. Yeah, it was fun, and it's going to suck because obviously I don't want to talk about football. Jimmy might probably want to talk about more than I do, but I don't, and it's going to be a long, long, long summer. Obviously, I'll have the PLL to have some more fun with and talk about more because, like I said, not having a championship team, we have some time for some more content. Is all I'm gonna say. So like I said, we appreciate everyone sticking through us with the playoffs. Like I said, it's an unfortunate end. Double parade doesn't happen this year. Doesn't mean it can't happen next year. So like I said, we still have two of the best players in the world. Things could be worse. Yeah, it sucks. Losing game seven sucks at home. Losing game six at home sucks. But you know what? I cannot be more proud of the way these teams have fought and, like I said, put on for our city. And they absolutely have done both.
They both represent Denver very well. I'm proud of being a Nuggets and an Avalanche fan and moving forward, even though I just said that I'm a Rangers fan. Those are my teams. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant, be sure to follow at FEOTV Pod. Continue to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We will see you guys on down the road.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.